Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have each and every one of you out today. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 14. Title of the lesson is The Road to Glory and Honor. Jesus notices things. He's God, and he noticed the characteristics of the people of Israel. And in Luke chapter 14 and Luke chapter 18, both of these points, he points out they're violating the biggest principle that you can violate. From two different angles, they are not on the road to glory and honor. In Luke 14, 7 through 14, seeking temporal honor, the Pharisees were about self-promotion, about self-seeking, and that can end up badly. In Luke 14, 7, he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they'd been picking out the place of honor at the table, saying to them, you know, he's looking around and he's been invited to this person's house, and about time it comes to eat, there's this mad scramble to get the best seat, to be seen, you know, and it was a U-shaped, small, low table setting, and the front of it, the U, the host would sit there, and on the right was the most important guest, on the left was the second most important. You remember James and John's mother? When Jesus comes to his kingdom, she wants her children to sit on the right and on the left. She wants them to have the place of honor. You know, and everybody's about, it's about self-seeking. And it's the world the disciples lived in. And Jesus just noticed it here, that everybody's trying to get the place of honor. They don't want to be down on the end away from the host. But that's dangerous too. Verse 8. When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. Let someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both shall come and say to you, give place to the man, this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. All that self-seeking, all that self-promoting, and you know, the arrogance or the pride, you know, and you, all you're thinking about is you and what you want and how people view you. And so you rush and you get a place of honor, and there's, you never thought there may be somebody more important than you out there that shows up. And now you've got to get up and give your, and you, and everybody else has been self-seeking too. And the next thing open is in the end, the last place. So here you were up front, and now you in disgrace, in shame. So that wasn't the wise thing to do, is what Jesus is saying. And this is a parable. We're talking about God, and talking about a host, and just because you push yourself in a religious position of an upper echelon doesn't mean you're going to end up there, is what this is about. Verse 10, but when you're invited, go and recline at the last place. So that when the one who's invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. By choosing to take the lowest point, there's only one way, and that's up. And if you're worthy, the host decides your worth. God decides your worth. You don't decide just because you claim to be a great Christian doesn't mean that's the way he views it. And the host comes along, and he wants you to have a better seat. Everybody in the room now knows what he thinks of you. And so that, you know, the wise thing to do is just take the humble position. And that's going to be his point here in verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. That's the big rule. You exalt yourself, your arrogance gets carried away, and there's one place that God's going to send you. You're going to find yourself humbled. Disaster is coming your way. Disgrace and all that self-promoting is going to end up costing you. Now, the person who humbles himself will be exalted. You're never cheated by taking a lower position. You're never cheated by putting other people that's more important than yourself in the eyes of God. Well, in Luke 18, 9 through 14, the same principle is being violated and by the leaders of Israel. In Luke 18, verse 9, and he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Yeah, their attainment spiritually, religiously, they arrived at the pinnacle. And that pinnacle becomes the standard of how they view other people as lesser people. They view other people as condemned because they're trusting in themselves that they are righteous. That they're right in the sight of God and they're better than everybody else because of what they have done or what they can do. And they look down on the lesser people. Well, Jesus said, I'm talking to y'all. And he names them in the parable. He don't say some man. We name Pharisees. Because that's what they're doing. Their arrogance is not going to end up well for them. I mean, if they want a salvation, there's one road to glory and honor. And it's not arrogance. Verse 10. Two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. You know, and Jesus has a way of choosing the complete opposite, the worst, and then the worst ends up on top. They would have never dreamed that the tax collector, the harlot, these are the real sinners and these are the worst of people. And Jesus is going to compare and balance out which one's righteous in this case. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and was praying to himself. Yeah. God's not in the fall. The guy's so arrogant that he's praying. He uses God, but he's talking to himself. He's congratulating himself how great he is. You know, he's achieved, established this level of accomplishment on his own. And he's proud of it. And he'll let his record stand. Philippians 3, Paul said, you know, the people are bragging and glorying in themselves. I could put my record out there and I'll come out on top, but I throw it away because it's useless in finding a real relationship with God. Verse 11, and the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. Jesus makes sure he puts that in there. God's not listening and he's not talking to God. You know? So we got that clear. God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax gatherer. Got an illustration right over here in the corner. This sorry guy over there. Aren't you glad to have me? He's not talking to God. He's reaffirming how great he is. And using religion and using prayer, and it's a show. There's other people standing around listening. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. He goes beyond the law. Nobody's requiring him to fast twice a week. And he gives tithes of his herbs. I mean, he's out in his garden. We're counting the tenth off. And, oh, I'm so religious. Verse 13, but the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. One man's bragging about how great he is to the umpteenth degree. And this fellow can't even look at God. He's ashamed. I mean, you know, he's cheating people. You know, he had a right to tax them a certain amount, and he gouged them because he had the authority and the power to do it, you know. Might have something to say with the day, too, raising taxes and all that. It could come back to burn you, you know. God, we'll see here the principle in a minute, that the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. The basis you need to like me is because I'm not like them, the bad people. Verse 13, but the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, what was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. All I can brag about is I'm a sorry individual. And I'm not bragging about it. I need mercy. I know where I'm at. And he can't be any lower. I mean, this is absolute honesty of where you're at. You know, some people think they're not worthy of being saved because the way they look at their life and how bad some things were. This fellow's being honest. He's covering every sin ever committed. God be merciful to me, the sinner. This is who I am. Now, if you looked at it in the first century, which one of those fellows went home God was pleased with? Everybody would have said Pharisee. Like Peter and them, you know, the rich man can't make it, who can make it? Well, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Whoa, God doesn't see things like you and I see things. And that's why we need to be careful. I mean, we need to understand his principles and how he noticed this. Both cases. You know, and so you would have thought the Pharisee went home justified because of his works. He had earned the right into heaven. He trusts in himself and he has no use for God and has no use for other people. That's the truth. Once you get by the show and the bluster, and hear this other fellow, you've got contriteness of heart. You've got the other fellow, the Pharisee didn't ask for no forgiveness. He didn't need any. Because he was good enough to make it into heaven without God. Now that's delusional. But that's arrogance. Self-seeking, self-promoting, self. You can convince yourself that you're so good in religion and have no idea how much trouble you're in. Because you know what the rule is? Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Can you imagine that guy when it comes time for judgment day and the Pharisee is rejected in the how? And have no idea why. And his argument is, I'm not like them, the bad people. But I don't feel bad about sin. I don't have no sin in my life, matter of fact. I mean, honesty of heart, humbling yourself when you do have sin in your life is worth everything. The other road, you get nothing from God. Oh, people say God loves you, God is good, and God will never punish you. And God doesn't have any rules. He got one big rule. I will humble those who exalt themselves, and I'll exalt those who humble themselves. That's my rule, the big one. Well, look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. Jesus got an opportunity to practice what he preached here. After he come on earth, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, we have a command for the Christian. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. The command is do nothing from selfishness. Why? We've just seen two examples of why. I mean, you can be self-seeking, self-promoting, and you can tell everybody how great a church this is, and Jesus says, but you're dead. The host decides whether you're worthy or not. You probably need to spend your time pleasing him rather than pleasing yourself. The command is do nothing from selfishness. I mean, that has to be a great concern in the Christian's life all the time. What's my motive? Why am I doing this? Is it just for me? Or I got somebody else's interest in mind? Empty conceit? Well, I'm not like him. No. And I do all these good things. I go beyond what's required. And therefore, empty conceit. You know. And you don't... The one thing the Lord wants is let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Think of other people, not just you. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. You've got to take care of things in your life. You've got to take care of your kids, your wife, your husband. I mean, there's a lot of self things you have to do. But not merely, it's not all about you. You need to include other people. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. If he didn't have humility of mind, you wouldn't be saved today. You would never even been heard of the gospel. Verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. The plan started before the world began. But when the time came for Jesus to come to earth, I'm not giving up my glory. I'm not taking a lesser position. Much less for sinners. If that's all he thought about was him, what? I mean, it wasn't a thing to be grasped and held on to at all costs, being God. He could let it go. He could take a lesser position for the sake of mankind who was lost. Verse 6, who although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. I mean, the world you and I live in is a little different from heaven. I mean, I said it before. I remember my son-in-law had their first baby, and you know how you are with first babies. And he thought the doctor treated that baby roughly. Later on a cold metal vein. And she's a holler, and the doctor pops her on the backside, and she's a hollering and a crying. Life was better in the world before. It was wonderful and comfortable. And now, well, Jesus came into this world that you and I live in. He came to poor parents. Well, where they're sacrificing, they're struggling, there's hard work. It wasn't luxury, and he had to learn from the bottom up. And now he's there, verse 7, but emptied himself. He chose to do it, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man. Hello. And as he grew, and he's 12 years old, and he's in the temple, you know, with great wisdom. But what's required of a person on earth? Obedience to God, submission, humbleness, letting God be great. He's not God in the flesh. He's just like everybody else. Verse 8, being found in the appearance of a man, as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's how you show humility to God. Pharisee, look at me, oh God, how great I am. We're not even talking to God. We're just using things of God to get glory in the eyes, and other people saying, wow, I can't do that. He is great. Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient. That's what you do. That's what humility is about. Sometimes we don't want to do the right thing. It's just we're not going to do it. We're not thinking about God at that point. You know, or we wouldn't be balking. If we really thought about God or saw God, we would, yes, sir. You know, it would be easy to do it, but the devil gets us trapped sometimes. But obeying. Jesus obeyed to the point of death. God wanted him to die for the sinners. And we see it in the garden. And then sweat's coming out like drops of blood. He knows he's going to be separated from God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The pain physically, with the nails and all that, was a prelude to being separated from God. And he knew where this was going. But he obeyed. And he was obedient to the point of death on a cross. The shameful death as a criminal. If they're having your son or daughter is being electrocuted, losing them is bad, but that's not a good thing. They've done something so bad, they deserve to live their life. Jesus is hanging on the cross, a common criminal, but he obeyed. He could do it. He could humble himself. He could put other people as more important than himself. Religion in the first century, it was about self-seeking. It was about self-promotion. It was about getting the best seat so everybody could see how great I am. Even when we prayed, it had nothing to do with God. It was about me. In our world today, the 90s was called the me generation. And it hasn't gotten better. But we're Christians. We can humble ourselves and we can do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. We can think beyond ourselves. Well, that's a blessing. Because you will be exalted by having that attitude. Well, Jesus did that. Verse 9, what did God think of it? Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. Highly exalted him. the sacrifice, the willingness, the attitude. I mean, if you have the same attitude as Jesus, what does God think of that? When you put other people first, mothers do it all the time, but they don't think of it as, you know, they got a duty, it's, you know, something we got to endure. But 1,000 times a day, what are they doing? Sacrificing. Thinking of other people. That's a good thing. To humble yourself. Oh, this is terrible. Get rid of them kids. Get them out of the house. Man, hope they graduate early. You know, we're thinking about whom? Me. And I can do other things. Boy, if I didn't have to go to work, you know. Learning to humble yourself, it's a choice. But it's the road to exaltation. And Jesus had to walk that road, starting in heaven, coming to earth. Does he understand when you... Does he notice when you put other people first? Well, he noticed them guys not doing it. Violating the biggest rule, biggest principle that you could violate, get yourself in the most trouble. What if you obey? What if you exalt yourself? Humble yourself. He notices. Saul of Tarsus? Oh, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was... This is him. You know, and he was zealous, and he was young, and he had energy, and he's going to wipe out the way. But if you're going to fight God, you may end up, you know, losing badly. Because the rule is still the same. We're going to humble those who exalt themselves, Saul of Tarsus. And when he blinded him, he said, "Who art thou?" Yeah, there is somebody greater out there. I'm not praying to myself, Lord. I'm talking to the person who's talking to me. I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Yeah, Jesus is one with his people. His people are people who understand that humility is the road to glory and honor. That arrogance is going to lead to a fall, and it's going to be a hard fall. And then you got to start over with nothing. At the end of the line, you got to work your way back to where you were. When all the time, if you could just think of other people, you know, it requires sacrifice on your behalf. But you know, there's great reward in sacrificing if you're doing it for their sakes. You actually reap your reward at the moment. Plus, the Lord's noticing too, and He's going to exalt you. And there may be a time where you're in trouble in life and you need exalting. It'd be nice if He knew you were worthy. He decides whether you're worthy or not of forgiveness of sins. Oh, Acts 2:38. People say Jesus' baptism isn't essential. Peter said, "I got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You don't have to do that. You don't have to humble yourself. You can justify why that's not right. But Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and if he lied to those poor people, yeah, there's degrees of punishment. He really needed it. A serious degree of punishment, but you know, you and I both know what he was telling the truth. And you and I humble ourselves and submitted to baptism. You know what we got? Forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit to help lead us. Galatians 5:16-17. If you walk with the Spirit, you'll not carry out the lust of the flesh. It's given there to keep us from, you know, doing what we want to do. But we can choose to humble ourselves. Jesus did. If you choose to do it, you're in control. And God's in control of you. Need respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?